who I have not had the pleasure of meeting yet, welcome again. I want to just share a few things, and we have a very special day today. Of course, you all know that we are celebrating our one-year anniversary here. But as you look at the slide, as Alan alluded to, those three phrases, ordinary people, real faith, and meaningful community, that's really what our dream and prayer for New Vine is. As you look at the picture, and you'll see a table, and we've always felt that God has given us a vision, a picture of a table where we can come as we are, where there's a seat for all of us at God's table, where we can not only eat physical food, and that's why we have dinner after every service, but we can also receive all of the spiritual food that God desires to give us, and so that we can be fed, so that we can grow, and that we can really be a community around God's table. And I think I just want to, you know, for those of you who may be new, this is really what we're praying to be, and this is really what we're all about, that there's always a seat at God's table for you. And we want to really, as we gather around these tables upstairs, to have a community, to have a family where we can share the good times, but where we can also share the bad times and really pray for each other and really walk through life together. So today we're going to do something a little different. We're going to mix it up a little bit. Pastor Ted will come up later, and I don't know if he'll have a sermon, but you can ask him, see if time allows for a sermon. But today I wanted to share with you a verse as we basically celebrate our one-year anniversary, and it's from 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. It should be on the screen. If you can all join with me and read this together. 1 Peter 2, verse 9, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, I'm not going to preach a sermon, so bear with me, but I just wanted to spend a few moments on reflecting on this verse, and I felt that this was really appropriate for us as we gather together 1 year later, just thinking about how God has been building his church here in Mountain View, and also how God has been leading all of you to be a part of this church. You know, it says that you are a chosen people. Each one of you is chosen. Each one of you is chosen by God. It's no coincidence that you are here tonight or this afternoon celebrating with us. God has chosen you to be a part of his family. We're supposed to be a royal priesthood. We are part of royalty. We serve the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And each one of us is a king or a queen or a princess or a prince in God's family. We are a holy nation. God has called us out to be different. God has called us to be different from the society around us. God has called us to be a holy people, set apart to live for God's purposes. And we're called to be God's special possession. You are special in God's eyes. You and I are God's special possession, a prized possession in the eyes of the Lord himself. And then it goes on to say that we may declare the praises of him, of God, who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. And that's really what we want to focus on today, is to really declare the praises of God. You know, what has God been doing in some of our lives over the last year? How has God been leading us to join this community of faith? You know, what has God been doing in bringing us, maybe from overseas, maybe from the local community, but really, we're called to declare the praises of what God has been doing and how the Lord has brought us from darkness into his light. As Christians, as believers in Jesus, we do believe that God has called us from darkness into light. And so today I really want to encourage you as we reflect on this one verse, as you hear some stories of some of us, of how God has brought us here to New Vine, of how God has transformed our lives. I want to encourage you to open up your ears, open up your hearts as you hear some stories, as you hear some amazing things that God is doing in our midst. And I want to really encourage you to celebrate with us as we hear from our brothers and sisters. So I want to invite those that I've asked to come up and come up to the stage so I know. I don't want to call you out by name, but if I've talked to you in this last week or two, now's the time to come up. So Ada, Margaret, Kelvin, Bao, Wesley, Esther, Hero, and who else? Anybody else that I see? And Kidani is not here yet, but hopefully when he is here, he can join us. So this is your, Kidani, you made it. All right, brother. Come on up. Oh, maybe we can just, do you want to sit with your wife?
Doesn't matter.
Okay. All right. Hero, I'm just going to, since you're in the middle, I'm just going to give the mic to you. That doesn't necessarily mean that you're going to start. So, you know, this is New Vine. This is a beautiful picture of who God has brought in the last year. And this is just a portion, because all of you represent New Vine. All of you are part of this dear church family. So I just want to, I guess, start us off by asking, how did God bring you to New Vine? And we don't all have to answer the same question, but Kidani, since you have the mic, how did God bring you to New Vine?
Yeah.
It's on. Maybe okay. It just needs to be a little higher volume.
Yeah, almost it is more than 6 months, but I didn't know about New Vine, but my colleague working together named Sergio told me about New Vine, and because of him, I came here.
So Sergio told you about New Vine, your colleague, right? Yeah. About 6 months ago.
Almost, okay. Yeah.
Wonderful. How about you, Ada? How did you hear about New Vine?
I've been going to a church for the last 10 years, on and off, a Spanish church. And I felt like, something was lacking. But I wasn't, I was still praying to God that he would send me to the right church. And one of the ladies came to visit our church. And then we became acquainted, and she brought me here. She's not coming here anymore, but but I'm here.
But God used her to bring you here, right? Wow.
So, but I have found something that I was looking for, you know, the fellowship. And I think when we mixed, there is like more spice in our life.
Spice, you know? Wow. How many of you like spice?
Yeah. And I really have enjoyed it. It's been a very beautiful experience. And I encourage every new person that comes to the church to go and spend time in the kitchen.
Wow, recruiting
that's
workers.
That's where the action is, yeah.
The kitchen.
Yeah,
okay.
That's where you meet the people more, you know, more time to talk a little bit more, and it's been a big help for me to learn them. And I thank God for bringing me here, and I feel so good with the worship and with all of you. Thank you.
Wow, wonderful. So Ada comes from San Mateo each week. I'm actually going to hand the mic, Hero, hold your turn. I'm actually going to ask Wesley, what brings a Canadian... He's not really a citizen, okay? He's Canadian. So he's like from up north. What brings a... Okay, one more here. Yes. Our dear pastor is also Canadian. What brings you, Wesley? What brings you here?
Sure, thanks. So I'm Wesley, and as Douglas said, I am Canadian. Don't tell anyone.
But we still love you.
So I had come here for school, and I recently graduated... and I moved into Mountain View and kind of found a place and settling into work. And I was looking for a church to join. And I'd kind of been kind of trying different ones and going to different churches in the area and was kind of just looking for something. And I checked my mail every day, and I got a postcard in the mail. And it was, you know, about New Vine, this new church. And, you know, I'm usually a little bit skeptical of kind of spam or things that come in the mail, especially if it's unsolicited. And I didn't really know what to think, but it was very close to where I lived. Here is really close to where I live. And so I thought I'd check it out 1 week. And so I showed up, and it was, I think, the first week that we had service here. And there are all these people, and people were very, very welcoming and excited to see me. And it was kind of cool just to be a part of something from the very beginning. And that's kind of what got me started here. And I've just been coming ever since, and I've enjoyed kind of getting to know everybody and just being a part of the community here.
Wow, so Wesley was here since the beginning a year ago. How many of you, can we see a show of hands, were here a year ago on September, I guess it was, what, 18th, 2016? So look around the room. These are the people that have been here for the last year, and all of you have joined us since. So wow, that's wonderful. Okay, I'm going to maybe hand the mic over to Esther. Oh. And Peter is actually gonna, I think someone's gonna help translate, because this is a dear sister, Esther, and you know at New Vine, we speak English, right? So, which is great. But then, somehow, in God's miraculous ways, God has also been bringing some people who only speak Chinese. And so Esther is one of the sisters that only she speaks some English, but it's, you know, she's more fluent in Chinese. And so Esther's gonna share with us how God brought her to New Vine, and then Peter is gonna help translate. Okay.
What's Esther?
I am Esther.
I'm not Esther, actually.
My name is, her name is Esther.
我还没有来到新藤教会之前，一直在同一个教会。
Before I came to the New Vine, I was at the other church for a long time.
我这个性格从来没有想过要换教会。
With my character, I wouldn't change churches. I would stay in the same church.
在2015年11月左右，神一直感动我要离开原来的教会。
In the year 2015, around November, God moved me, and God is asking me to go to a different church.
我从来没有想到有这个勇气，但居然离开了。
I never thought I had the courage to leave the old church.
那段时间，我去了好几家熟悉的教会尝试。
At the time, I went to different churches and tried to experience them.
但圣灵总是没有任何感动和催逼。
But the Holy Spirit did not speak to me clearly that I would go to that church.
不久，团契里有一位姐妹讲到她要换教会。
And after a while, a sister from a fellowship, she told me that she was planning to go to a different church.
在我心里，圣灵忽然大搅动。
All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit then pounded me and moved me.
但姐妹说，那是一个讲英文的教会，我怎样参加呢？
But the sister told me that church is an English-speaking church, and I felt like, how could I go to that church?
那我不管，因为我已经祷告过。
However, I felt like I should go, and because I've been praying for that for a long while.
就顺着圣灵的感动，就来到这里新堂教会。
I followed the calling from the Holy Spirit and came to New Vine.
虽然开始的时候，我陶醉在敬拜里。
In the beginning, I enjoyed so much in the worship.
但看见吃的晚餐真的不习惯，也吃不下。
But the food was a little bit cannot get used to it.
弟兄姐妹也，我也不懂得怎样与他们沟通。
I had difficulty trying to communicate and talk to the other brothers and sisters, so I had a little struggle in my heart.
但过了一段时间,
But after a little while,
我才明白上帝要 破碎我从旧的文化。
I start to understand God wants to break myself to have in a new environment.
再更新我进入他神国的文化。
And God leads me to His kingdom.
在我开始信主的时候。
When I first believe in Jesus.
我很清楚神是给我传福音的恩赐。
I was so clear that God gave me the gift to evangelize.
我却没有活出来。 因我被放在其他的服事岗位。
However, I did not use, didn't get a chance to use my gift to do the UN evangelize because I was served in a different area.
原来神放在我在这里，是把我呼召和恩赐再次带出来。
Amazingly, that God puts me in new wine, and I got a chance to do to reach out to the other people.
神在这一年改变我很多。
In the past year, God changed me so much.
一步一步地教我。
He led me step by step.
我就与不信主的人相交。
And I will start communicating to the people who are non-believers.
现在有新讲中文的朋友来。
And thank God that there are newcomers who speak Chinese.
我都很愿意和他们交谈。
And I was so willing to share the testimony to them.
我喜欢讲我的见证。
I really enjoy telling them my personal testimonies.
他们都被我的故事激励了。
And they get excited from my testimonies.
来了美国几十年。
And after being in the U.S. for many years,
我一直没有勇气去读入籍和英文班。
I was discouraged to attend any English class to the U.S. citizen class to apply.
但因为来了心疼。
Because I came to the New Vine Church,
几个月后,
after a couple months,
我决定参加了公民入籍班，和以前自己永远，我以前以为自己永远不会懂英文。
I got the courage to start attending the English class to apply for the U.S. citizenship.
但最近觉得越多，越听越多了。And
I start to understand more and more.
神把我的惧怕拿走了。God
took away my fear.
我知道主耶稣在我身上有个美好的计划。I
know God has a plan for me, a very good plan.
我在学习更多的降服。And
I'm learning to surrender myself to God.
感谢他把我放在这个教会。Praise
the Lord that God led me to this church.
把我的眼光和境界广阔去侍奉他。And
He has expanded my vision and the territory to serve Him.
Oh, glory to the Father.
Amen.
Wow. 谢谢 Esther. Thank you so much. Wow. So next year, she's going to be up here speaking all English, right? No need for translation. Wow. Okay. Thank you, Esther. So I'm going to ask Hiro to share your story. So Hiro became a Christian here at New Vine. And maybe, Hiro, you can share with us how that occurred, maybe your faith journey, and how you and Rosa met Quinn and Andrew, and how God connected you guys, and how God has brought you not just to New Vine, but most importantly, to God Himself.
Hi, I'm Hiro. Well, so the everything started when Rose and I took the birthing class at the Santa Clara, the Kaiser at the Santa Clara. And then the in the class, there was the Quinn and Andrew in the back. And then the, well, the, you know, the first like class, like we spent the time introducing each other. And then after that, we even had a lunch together and then even dinner together. And then they introduced the wonderful restaurant in Sunnyvale, which I really didn't know. So I guess I'm one of those who actually get hooked with the food as well.
Food's important, right?
Yeah, food is important. And then after that, Quinn and Andrew invited us to join the barbecue the New Vine had. That was before the New Vine started, I believe. And then I met a lot of nice people. Actually, I know I'm an Asian, so you might think that I'm used to the Asian people here, but I was more comfortable surrounded by Latino people. It's because I came here when I was 19 years old without knowing any friends or family members. And then after I met Rosa, that time she was my girlfriend, So I get to know a lot of Latino people. So I was spending a lot of time with the Latino people, and then all of a sudden here, surrounded by the Asian people, it's like, hi. Actually, you guys look pretty alike, and then I look alike, but...
So you like tacos?
Yes, I do like tacos. So I used to be surrounded by Latino people, so always I stood up. It's like, you know, it's like, hey, what is this Asian guy doing? And they always thought that I'm a Chinese, and I was like, yeah, kind of the same thing. But now I'm blended by a lot of Asian people, so when I say Japanese, and they do recognize that, hey, I'm not Chinese. So I feel like, hey, I'm feel at home. Besides that, so like I said, I met a lot of good people, including Douglas, Eric, who was making coffee that time. And also the Alan actually was talking to me, and he just comes to me and then say, hey, Hiro, when was the last time you took your wife out? And I was like, what kind of conversation is that? And I was like, what are you talking about? None of your business.
Too nosy, huh? Asian people too nosy.
But then I was like, actually, I can't even remember when I took her out. So then I started talking about it more like a life, like a deep life conversation. Then I was like, this is something I was missing. This is something that I couldn't do with my parents nor my friends. It's just so difficult to start talking about it. And then sometimes, especially my parents get upset when I talk to those kind of like a deep, like life philosophy kind of conversation. So I was feeling really good at that day, and then all of a sudden my wife comes in and say, hey, you want to come to New Vine Church? And I was like, well, they have food. And also, I get to know a lot of Asian people, which is always plus. And also, as a royal husband, of course, you listen to whatever the wife says. So it's like, yeah, sure. Yeah. So that was the starting point. And then since then, I started coming here. And then at the beginning, it's surprising that each time the pastor Ted came out and talked, gave a sermon, I thought he was talking about me. And I was like, how does he know I had a problem last week like this? I just don't get it. Is that what the God's people do? Like, they can figure out what I'm doing? I was like, I can't get it, but, well, thank you so much for the advice. So I took it seriously. I learned a lot as much. And then one day, it was Sunday, and I was coming to New Vine Church, and then my wife wasn't coming with me. And as usual, if I have my son, I get late, and I was a little frustrated. And then I came in, and then I saw a guest speaker, I believe Tim Iverson. He was a missionary, I believe. And then he started talking about how the guys are more difficult to be convinced to follow the Christ. It's because they like to control things. And then when you actually surrender yourself to Christ, you basically get rid of that control. Then I was like, that's exactly right. I kept resisting, thinking that because I want to have a control in my life, and if I let the God control me, where's my control? So I thought that he was talking to me directly. And so at the end of the sermon, he was telling me that whoever wants to follow the Christ, raise your hand. I was like, and I didn't know exactly what I was doing, actually. What am I doing? Uh-oh. And then the team goes like, oh, there's one person. It's like, oh my God, it's me. I can't go like this anymore. What am I going to do? Okay. But that's how my journey started. But since then, a lot of miracle happens. For example, like after the baptism, actually, me and my wife got baptized at the same time. And then my wife has been struggling with the experience that she had in the past. And then because of that, it was hard for her to open up to people. And then sometimes she goes back to that the state, the mental state, where she's very down and then she has no way out. And interesting enough, after the baptism, she was really happy. She was so happy that she stopped complaining a lot of things, including myself, of course. And then I was like, wow, this is what the God can do. He knows the problem, and then he can communicate directly to her heart. And so that was my witness. But for me, what was great is, of course, there are so many things that I learned, but one of the things was that I found basically the mentor, the life mentor, the life teacher, who can tell me which direction is right, which direction is wrong. Now I think back, after I got baptized, as soon as I graduated from college, I kind of got lost. I got into basically darkness, so to speak, because I couldn't tell exactly, figure out what path is right and then what is the purpose of life. I couldn't answer any of those questions, and it was a difficult time. And then at some point, I kind of gave up and saying that, you know, there is no purpose for me to live here. All I have to do is figure out what I want to do, set up the goal, and then figure out how to get there. But the problem of that approach is that once you get to the goal, you're like, now what? I mean, you're lost again. So you always have to somehow figure out some different goals, set up the goal, whether you're right. I mean, if the goal is right or wrong, you just set it up and try to achieve it. So I was always looking for some kind of guidance. And then that became clear when I had my son, Keiji. I thought that I have some teaching that I have, some morals that I can teach, some philosophy that I can teach. But as soon as he was born and then I held him, I was like, I have no idea how to guide this guy. I mean, I'm supposed to be a dad, so I'm supposed to know certain things, but then it's like, I don't really know. So becoming the Christian actually gave me the path of, okay, this is the way to live. And this is the path that you want to take. And then I'm always certain that that's the right path. Mm-hmm. And then that not only gave me the confidence, but also the so to speak, satisfaction that I'm giving the right guidance to my son. After that, I always like a practice to pray to God, and I don't really know exactly how to do it. I asked the pastor Ted, it's like, how do I pray? But one of the advice that I got is that I don't have to make it too complicated when I pray. Simply just say, thank you, Lord. Thank you for what you have done. And because he knows what I went through. He knows what problem that I had. And then, you know, what limitations I had. And then simply saying that thank you, Lord, is not only great to basically praise Lord, but also it's actually great for me. It's actually that calm me down. So I decided to practice with my son. So now, like, each time we eat, like, we pray together. Each time we go through a difficulty, we pray together. Each time we see somebody going through a difficult time, we pray together. As a matter of fact, there's one more story that I want to share. I think that was probably about 5-6 months ago. I have a Costco credit card because it gives me so many cash back. And it's like, oh, this is the best credit card ever. So I kept using it. And then one day, I got a phone call. And it was in the morning, and I was trying to get ready. And then I do get a phone call. I do IT support, so I do get a lot of emergency phone calls. So it's like, this is just too early. Maybe it's not a big deal. Just leave a voicemail, so I will get back to you if it's urgent. So I kind of left there. But then before I went to work, I just listened to it. And it was from the credit card company. And then saying that it looks like the big bill is coming into your, I made a big purchase, then they wanted to confirm that that was from me. Then I was like, I didn't do that. So when I looked into it, sure enough, it's like $1,000 in some kind of ladies club, and then I was like, but it was in the East Coast, so I wasn't in East Coast, so it wasn't me. And then also there are so many like other transactions, like $50, $60, and so on and so forth. So basically my credit got hacked. So I did have a credit card, so sometimes probably somebody took my information out there and then just keep swiping the card. Then usually when that time, like, of course, I will just think that something bad happens to these guys, or maybe I'm going to try to get information about these guys and try to get back to them. However, what I did was actually I went upstairs, and then I actually kneeled down and I prayed to God that, you know, please forgive those people who actually did the bad things. They don't know exactly what they're doing. And then please forgive them, but also tell them that, you know, those action is not, it's actually ultimately harming them. Each time you do those things, then you're actually putting yourself down. And then please, like, give them a love, give them a comfort, and then give them the guidance so that way they can do the right thing, and I pray for them. So after the prayer, I was like, I can't believe I did that. They are the one who actually took my, you know, information and start, you know, using my credit card under my name. But then, you know, I really felt somewhat compassionate because I'm sure they're struggling. They're struggling, or somebody taught them, okay, in order to live, you have to steal. And you know, that's the wrong way, but then probably that's the only way they know. So I pray to God that please give them the guidance the right way, just like they did to me. And then when that time, I realized that, wow, this is just so wonderful to be a Christian. It's so wonderful. It's truly, you know, you're removing your ego aside and then just praying for other people. That's like something that I never thought I was going to be able to do. So thank you so much.
Wow. Thank you, Hiro. I'm going to ask Bao a question. So this is Bao. Bao, how long have you've been here since the beginning, right?
Yes,
yeah?
1 year.
So what has God been doing, in a nutshell, over this past year in your own life?
A lot. God has been doing a lot in my life. I wish I had the vocabulary to describe what the Holy Spirit feels like. But you may not believe me if I told you. God has been doing so much. When I was 22, I had like a mental breakdown, and I was really depressed, and I felt like a failure. And I was lost, I was confused. And I had doubts. I wondered about God, and I was like, does God not exist? Like, I was disappointed, and I thought, if he doesn't, then I'm just going to have to live life on my own and try to be in control of what happens in the day. And I had a reality check, like a gut check. I wasn't good at reading. How I got a B average in school, I was good at multiple choice. But something told me I wasn't good at reading, so I tried reading the Bible and other books, and I couldn't understand the Bible. So I started reading children's books and started reading more books, and then something told me, of course there's a God. I became more open-minded, and I just needed to look. And then around when I was 24, I reconnected with my cousin, Tremi, and she and Alan invited me to the San Jose campus. And I was seeking. I was looking. So I let more and more Holy Spirit into my heart, and it changed me. It's uncomfortable at first, but only because it's different. It's because it's changed. Almost all change is uncomfortable. But yeah, Tremi is actually my first cousin, even though her kids are almost my age. So, I mean, New Vine is great. I do have a hard time getting up early on Sundays, but the fact that New Vine's at 4 o'clock and it's awesome, that's just a coincidence. I would go here no matter what time it was.
Us would agree, right, Bao? Yeah, so praise God for an afternoon service. Thank you, Bao. Did you have more? Or you don't have to if.
Yes, I've learned that we do hear voices. We hear about four. We hear God's voice, or we hear our own voice, our own intuition. We hear the voice of the world, and we hear the voice of the enemy. And I've learned that we're creatures of emotion and creatures of habit. Like, habits control a lot of our day. I bet you that you brush your teeth the same way every day, every time. I don't know if you go from left to right or right to left, but I know this, it's the same every day. Am I right? And if you're in the habit of listening to the world, then you may just have to fit in, and it might terrify you to go out and do something different. And if you're a career criminal, you may be in the habit of listening to the enemy. And ideally, if you're in the habit of hearing God's voice, then you can walk the way of Jesus and the truth and not have to think about it, because it's a habit.
And I know time is short. Margaret and Kelvin, you've been with us since, I don't know if she's giving you the mic, but I can give you the mic. But just a few words. You know, Margaret and Kelvin have been with us from the San Jose Church. About 20 or 30 of us had this dream, had this vision of coming to Mountain View to plant this church. So tell us some things that God has been showing you, just very, very briefly.
Sure. As Douglas shared, as Alan also mentioned, a few of us came from the San Jose Church. I actually grew up in Singapore, but I've been here in the Bay Area since 2010, so I've been part of San Jose Church for a while. And yeah, and this is really, I wouldn't say the culmination of our vision, but I think this is just such a beautiful thing to be here today, where we were even just a couple of years ago when we first having this dream and journey. But I think I want to share also just from my own personal journey, not just from what we wanted to do at San Jose, but some of you know, I grew up, I was not from a Christian family, but I came to Christ. I received Jesus when I was young, like about 10, 11 or so. And praise God, I mean, I can tell you the whole story another time, but that was a pivotal moment for me. But I actually did not know what it meant to be part of a church. I received Jesus, privately. I thought, okay, I can read the Bible. I can just learn a lot of things, study, read Christian books, study theology, things like that. Acquire all that, and I'm good, right? I mean, what's the point of going to church, really, right? So that was actually how I began my journey as a believer. So, I truly believe in faith. I received Christ, but I think I was very much a loner, you know, a lone wolf Christian. And part of that is just my general personality, too. I tend to be a loner. You know, I'm actually perfectly happy staying home by myself, you know, and things like that. So that could, that, I think that part of my flesh continued for a while into my spiritual walk. But it was only a little bit later than, you know, I received, you know, I think that was one day when I just felt very, very strongly that God was telling me, you know, I needed to stop that. You know, that was at a point in my life and I was going through a lot of struggle. And I really remember very distinctly, you know, God giving me this strong impression. It's like, this was on the Thursday, I remember. He said, basically, you know, you have to find a church and you got to go this Sunday. You know, so I literally, okay, this is really strong. So I literally started looking up, so what churches are there around me, you know? And I started visiting churches and I didn't even know what to look for. You know, do I just find the nearest one? Do I find the biggest one? I didn't know what the criteria were. You know, I had never been to a church before, right? Despite, quote unquote, being a Christian. But, you know, and this was in Singapore, which is, you know, a small city, so I was able to, you know, visit a whole bunch of churches. Eventually, I did end up in a church where I was baptized, when I became part of a small group and grew in the Word and grew in fellowship. It was a pretty big church, though, like 5,000. 6,000 members. In Singapore, that's like medium size, maybe. but still pretty big. And I think at that point in my journey, I was very, now I'm part of a church, you know, and there's lots of programs, lots of resources. This is great. I think this is the Christian life, you know, right? And I thought, okay, now that's done. You know, I obeyed God. And then, you know, eventually I came to the U.S., not here, but in Pennsylvania for college, and there I was part of a fellowship, and, you know, became part of a smaller church there, probably around, 300 people, or maybe less, you know, and for me, that was a really big change. I'm like, wow, like, you know, like used to 5,000, you know, like, you were kind of this alternate, you have no idea who the people right beside you are, and you probably see a completely different group of people every week, you know, and you have, like, 7 services on the weekend, including Friday, right, and you know, and you have, like, a whole list of Bible studies that you could go to, you know, and, like, that's, like, you know, there's all these resources, you know, and there's, like, ministry areas, there's pages and pages, you know, that you could join, you know, and then it's like, oh, 200 people, like, and then, you know, they, I don't know, just like, do you want to help out with Bible study? Do you want to, I mean, like that was like, oh, well, where's all the program? Where's all the resources? Is this church? Yeah, is this church? And yeah, where's all the people, right? Yeah. But I think for me, that was when God really challenged me in my understanding of what it meant to be part of a church. You know, that it was not about being part of a program. It was not about being part of this huge mass of people, you know, doing things. And to be fair, right, there's a lot you can do with the resources. And I mean, God has a place for that in his kingdom too. But I think for us to grow as believers, we really have to be plugged into a family. Right? We have to really get to know the people around us and really live our lives out, you know, yeah, in love, right? To really grow in love. And the way we grow in love for Christ is partly by, you know, growing in love with each other. And I think that was, for me, the beginning of that journey, right? And then, you know, eventually, you know, long story short, right, I came here to the Bay Area, was part of San Jose Church. And some of you have been to the San Jose Church. Not a lot of you have, maybe, but those of you have, I think we have, how many? 600, 700, 800 people or so. Pretty sizable, right? And then finally, you know, a couple of years ago, when we were talking about planning a new church, you know, and then it's like New Vine, and we didn't even have a name then. But it's like, okay, let's gather a group of 30 people and let's go out and plan a new church. And again, for me, that was once again challenging for me. You know, what it meant to be part of a church. But I think the journey I had been on, I had already learned a lot about that. And, you know, I still struggle with my flesh. I'm still sometimes a loner. I still kind of like, yeah, you know, I'm not quite sure if I want to be, you know, hanging out with people, but I think God has shown me how, not just how important it is, but really how joyful it is. Like, I really, really enjoy it now. I mean, like, just coming here and being with all of you, you know, I mean, even though I may not know everyone very deeply, but I just rejoice, you know, in being here, and it's so great to come here and, like, look around the room, and I really think I know, you know, most of the faces here, and it's just, I really feel like I'm part of a family, and I have a place in this family, and I think for us, starting New Vine, we really just wanted to continue that and expand that and extend God's kingdom, but again, not as a program, not to increase numbers, not for the glory of ourselves, you know, but to give glory to God and increase His worship and just really share the joy that we have, you know, just this wonderful, wonderful joy of being part of God's family. So again, for me, you know, it's very personal, my journey of how that understanding grew, but, you know, and I'm still not perfect, but, you know, I'm still growing, but yeah, just praise God so much for that, and yeah, that's part of my journey.
I don't have too much. I think he took a lot of the points that I wanted to make, but I wanted to share 3 years ago when the core team started to talk and get together to pray about New Vine. Kelvin and I just got married around that time, so I was like in wedding planning mode for much of the time before sort of this project started, right? So I just wanted to share, it sounds like a very weird comparison, but Kelvin and I planned our wedding in 2014, really not for ourselves, but for the people who we invite. If it were up to us, we'd probably just go to City Hall and do the bare minimum. But I think we had 3 weddings. They were huge, like San Jose, Hong Kong, Singapore. And it was a lot of time and effort and money and traveling and all that. But we did that because we wanted to bring that testimony of how God put us together and how His love is the foundation of our marriage. And we designed the whole wedding to make sure that guests would be comfortable, that they would hear the message, that they will linger and have food and be able to share their lives. It was, in some ways, the first time I looked at it from that angle, from the angle of how can I, like, create this environment or this platform for people to possibly encounter God. And, you know, we're getting married. Everyone likes to come to a wedding, right? And what a great testimony of love. But it's not just human love, and we really wanted to testify that. So imagine all of that having gone on, and then this idea of a new church. And to me, it felt like a really natural next step. Oh, it's kind of like the same thing. How can I create a platform or an environment for people to come and encounter God? And that's really all it is. This is what New Vine is, from kind of the core team's perspective. I learned a lot, kind of similar to what Kelvin was saying. It doesn't take a lot to have a church. I used to think that it took programs, it took a build, you have to have a nice building, you have to have a lot of people, you have to have Sunday school teachers, you have to have all these ingredients. But what I learned is no, you don't, not at all. You just need to encounter God. And yeah, you probably need a room where people can come together to worship, but it's really basic. It's just the love for one another and kind of that worship to God, like recognizing that He is Lord, and then just loving on each other. That's what church is, and that's kind of my biggest lesson. So I'm so thankful that I've been invited to be part of this journey to build New Vine. And like Kelvin said, I love it here. And kind of like what Hiro, you said too, I can't believe I did this. Like, I kind of did all these things now looking back. Did I do that? Was that me? And it was. And I think it was really the Holy Spirit working. So praise God.
So we want to thank all of our New Viners, our Viners, so thank you very much. And there's more stories. They're not done. We just don't have enough time to hear all of them. So thank you very much. Hold on tight, because Pastor Ted's going to come up to just end us in prayer, right? Because I'm sure the taco truck is here, and we have a special surprise for you. They're coming right down. You might hear little feet coming, but our Vine kids have been preparing a surprise for all of us. They have been preparing and practicing a song over the last few weeks, and they wanted to bless us on our 1 year anniversary with this song. So they should be here soon. I think I see them. So after Vine Kids comes up and sings a special song, Pastor Ted is going to come up, and then we're going to go out and enjoy the tacos and our fellowship and just celebrate and thank God together. So let's hear it for our Vine Kids as they come up. Let's give them some encouragement as they share with us a special song.
Happy anniversary, everybody. How are you guys doing? Okay. Our Vine kids have a special worship song that they're going to sing just to declare how awesome our God is. And so as they prepare, parents, if you want to come down and take pictures, come down here. We're going to get ready. Okay.
Children, one more time, our Vine kids. Thank you. All right, I do not have a sermon today. In fact, I think it'll be really inappropriate for me to preach. I'll be persecuted if I did. But you heard the most real, most amazing, most raw sermons. We are actually the stories that God is writing here at New Vine, the people that you heard from. It's just an amazing part of our journey. And I really believe that the Lord is writing an amazing story in this place. This is not a church built by one or two people or group of people. This is a church that our Lord Jesus is building, and he's invited all of us to be part of that. So are you in?
Yeah.
Are you all in?
Yeah.
Great. I'm really looking forward to this upcoming year. Will you stand with me as we close our time? Maybe if you can join hands with another friend, brother, sisters next to you. I'll make it really short, and then we'll go out and celebrate. Father, what an amazing journey this has been. Our hearts are just filled with joy and gratitude. And Lord, we know that you are in this place. We just sense your pleasure and your favor upon our lives. Lord, we thank you for the stories that are being written, whether it is through persecution and suffering or joyful events and even the transformation you're bringing about in our lives, Lord. We know that this is the story of your kingdom, and that is going to be told for the rest of eternity. Thank you for bringing us together. Thank you for joining our hearts together. And we celebrate your goodness and your faithfulness in all of us today. And Lord, we want all honor and all glory to go to you. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Amen. Before we leave this place, can we say to one another, happy birthday? This is our 1-year birthday. Happy birthday.